This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I got a text the other day. Friend was at the Excelsior brewing place.
Sounds nice.
One guy walks in, spotlight on him. 1985 boombox, bell bottoms, chest lettuce showing this guy, Tom Hauser, pumping his own music in downtown Excelsior. True or false?
Demanding silence and everybody's eyeballs on him.
Yeah, yeah.
First of all, bell bottoms in 1985.
Well, you were a little behind.
Wasn't that more 1975, 74?
You were fashionably late to that, you know?
I am still fashionably late.
Yeah, no, you're solid. Did you have like a lot, when you were a kid and went to elementary school, did you have a lot of vests? My mother put me in a lot of vests. Maybe that's why I don't like vests. My mom put me on, put those on me too often.
No, I had, the only time I remember seeing pictures of me as a kid in a vest was when I was like, one, and we used to always joke because my parents would put us in these same type of vests, and my dad used to call us Little Lord Fauntleroy. He's Little Lord Fauntleroy.
That's great.
And so we used to joke about that, but I think we aged out of that very quickly. After like one or two, we were, and I did not go to, you know, a private school where a lot of times those vests or, you know, some kind of uniform was in place.
Wow.
So no, I was not a, although I was real big into the three-piece suit era back in the
80s. Okay, hold on a second. Let's not let this pass, Dave. I didn't go to private school, but I did attend a dying to schools. Okay, I mean, let's not act like, you know, you're the mean streets as you went to a dying West, okay?
My point being, we did not get put in uniforms, although we did often have to wear green.
Yes,
really stand out.
Didn't go to private school, only private college.
I did like the vest.
That's right. That's also true. Thomas,
but again, no uniforms, although purple was encouraged.
Yes, I did not go to private high school. I just went to Edina. And then I'm not going to comment on the college. Which, oh, by the way, that is private. You know, so.
How did we go from vests to my educational career?
I don't know, but I want to get back to the, because the three-piece suit for some people is back. Like, where do you, like, could you, like, at issue this Sunday, could you potentially break out the three-piece suit?
Well, I don't have any of them left. I got rid of them all.
Well,
and then, you know, I went from the vests to, you know what I was really into were the, this would have been more late 80s, early 90s, the suspenders.
Or
as they officially called them, the braces.
The braces,
And you couldn't have the kind that clip onto your pants.
Yeah.
You had to have the suit pants that came with the button inside.
Correct,
the actual real suspenders. And I used to see one fashion faux pas where people would have a belt on and suspenders.
Unnecessary.
Yeah, it was duplicative, to say the
least. Yes, yes.
Idiotic, to say the most.
Let's go. 651.
I did like those. I did like the suspenders.
651-461-9226. Who do you have for suspenders? And Larry King off the board. Okay.
Yes.
Larry King is the given. Larry King, if you look up suspenders, there is Larry King. Who else do you have wearing suspenders? How about
back in the day, it was Dan Rather.
Dan Rather.
I think almost all of the network anchors wore them, and you'd see some of the movies where there's, I think maybe even Broadcast News, which was back in the 80s. I think there were a lot of suspenders back in those days. And then it just kind of slowly fell out of favor, I think, somewhere in the mid-90s. I don't know why.
Do we have anywhere early in Tom Hauser's career something Albert Brooks-like, where you are just perspiring massively? Did you ever have a moment on TV, and maybe it's even serious, where you just were struggling mightily?
Other than last night?
Yeah, other than tonight and coming up? Is there something that stands out?
Yes. There is one night in particular that stands out. It was the first night I was ever anchoring the weekend news down at Channel 6 in Austin, Albert Lee. The station has since migrated over to Rochester, now owned by my company, Hubbard Broadcasting. So really,
his company. Dave, do you hear that? My company. I mean, I'm not sure Mr. Hubbard will appreciate that. We'll send him this clip.
The company that I work
for. Yeah, there we go.
The first night I had to anchor the news, I forget exactly why this was, but our management down there was very involved in the Miss Minnesota pageant. And people may have forgotten this. It used to be kind of headquartered in Austin, Minnesota.
Yeah. Why was that?
It's been lost to the vestiges of time. I don't remember exactly why.
Okay.
But our TV station was like ground zero for this one day where all of the contestants were there, and they were doing some on-camera stuff, and I forget.
Shockingly, Tom was there that day, Dave. I mean, who would have guessed?
Yeah, happened to be going on.
The building is filled with Miss Minnesota contestants, and I'm having to go on the air for the first time in my career anchoring sports and weather.
Oh.
And to say I had little or no idea what I was doing would be an understatement. And then to compound that with all of this turmoil going around with these very fetching young ladies, and I'm nervous to begin with, and there's monitors all over the station, so I know they're going to be
watching you.
Yes, and this is going to be very horrific for me, and I was so incredibly nervous, and I remember the guy who was training me in at the time had zero interest in helping me at all navigate through this. And it was, to this day, it's still one of the most horrifying broadcast experiences of my life. And I think I might have a 3/4-inch videotape of it still.
God, I'd
somewhere.
Love to see that sometime.
Oh, I wouldn't. I know I have some still pictures, and that's bad enough. It was, but it. Luckily, that does not happen a lot. But that Albert Brooks scene in Broadcast News is one of the best.
It's priceless, and it's just a fabulous movie. All right, let's come back. Let's talk about Tom's favorite organization. They've been appearing at the Capitol, the Satanists. Now, what is going on with the Satanists? What is going on with the 20 votes? Do we have them? What else is going on in local politics? He is the best, not just politics, but fun, everyday life stuff. Tom Hauser from Channel 5, back with us in moments on WCCO.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our guy Tom Hauser back with us. Okay. We have day two of this trial involving the very competitive House race in Shakopee, involving Aaron Paul and Brad Tapke. It was a margin of 14, but we have 20 missing absentee ballots. And so Aaron Paul is saying, well, guess what? If those ballots, as improbable as it seems, Tom, if those ballots would have turned out 17-3 in favor of him, we got a tie ball game. If those votes turn out 18-2 for me, or even better, I win. So it's day number two. How are things playing out, and when are we going to get some sort of resolution?
Well, they ended pretty early today, before noon. They were done. The attorneys for Brad Tapke called some Tapke voters yesterday. I sat through 7 hours of testimony at the Scott County Courthouse about absentee ballots and secrecy envelopes, and it was a great deal of fun, don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
but
I bet.
the bottom line is that the Republicans say, yeah, that might seem unlikely that, you know, 18 of these are going to go for Paul and two are going to go for Tapke. The problem is nobody can say for sure because nobody knows exactly what happened to these 20 ballots or why. Did someone count out 20 votes for Aaron Paul and throw them out?
Yeah.
They thought maybe the race was going to be kind of close.
Right.
Or were these just random ballots that were discarded due to random sloppiness? You know, we don't know. Yesterday, the county elections administrator down there testified she is very confident that they've identified who the 20 voters were whose ballots were not counted because they still had their ballot applications. They just didn't have the ballots that went with them. However, she also acknowledged she cannot say with 100% certainty these are the 20 voters. So there is a lot of uncertainty. There's more votes that are missing than the margin of a lead for Brad Tapke right now. 14 is the margin. 20 ballots are missing. I don't know what you do from here. Today, attorneys for Tapke called a statistics expert who testified that if these were randomly, you know, discarded during randomization, the majority of these would have likely gone to Tapke given the precinct that they came from. But again, the attorneys for Aaron Paul, the Republican, say, well, but what if these weren't random? What if something else happened? And he said, well, then, you know, my equation, my math might all be wrong. So there's just a lot of unknowns. It's a very thorny case. The only one I can think of that came close, do you remember 22 years ago, the case of the burned ballots?
Oh, yeah. Yes, Austin, that's right.
But now here's the big difference between the two cases. The margin ended up being 11 votes. 17 votes, ballots, were taken to the home of an election judge and burned in a fireplace. Jeez. Now, the reason that happened was these were absentee ballots that included votes for Paul Wellstone, who, of course, had died before the 2002 elections.
Yep.
So she misunderstood that, you know, these should not have just been discarded because those ballots also included votes in other races. But the big difference is those votes had already been counted one time. They just were not available for the recount. So you see the difference there. They had been counted once, but these 20 ballots in Scott County have never been counted. We never knew what was on these 20 ballots. So
Let me just jump in. Because
when it's this close, it gets very squirrely.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, for me, the judge can't play statistics here. The judge, just me from afar, saying if there are 20 votes out there and you cannot definitively show me who the votes were, they can't be, well, they probably were going to be this. We can't do probably. If you can't show me those 20 votes, then it's possible they all were for Paul. Or maybe they all were for Tappy. But because we don't know, to me from afar, I say a rematch has to take place.
And that is the argument of the Republican attorney representing Aaron Paul. On the flip side, the attorney for Brad Tapke says, generally, and this is borne out over many years of when you've had to do special elections, the number of people who vote is far less than the number who voted the first time around. In this particular case, nearly 22,000 people voted. The Democrats argue a lot of those voters will be disenfranchised because they're either not going to be available to come and vote, or they're not going to know about the election because, frankly, people tune out when the general election is over, and that you're going to have all these voters who are disenfranchised. Those are the two arguments.
Let's get to another big controversy over the last 3 days. I'm going to read a couple tweets here from two individuals who are in Congress, and a lot of people wonder if they may run to be governor. For Tom Emmer, it would be the second time. For Pete Starr, it would be the first time. And maybe it's against Tim Walz. Maybe it's not against Tim Walz. First, this is Tom Emmer from a couple days ago. Is there anything Tim Walz won't do to insult Minnesotans? And Pete Stauber said, when you get a DFL trifecta, you get a satanic display at our state capitol during the holidays. What a disgrace. Only in Walz is Minnesota. Explain what is happening about this satanic holiday display at the capitol. And is there any proof in any way, even a morsel, that Tim Walz played some part in encouraging this, in allowing this, or looking away, or had the ability to stop this to further justify what Emmer and Stauber tweeted out?
Well, there's several questions there, but Tim Walz did not actively encourage this. However, he does acknowledge the First Amendment. And I'm sure Congressman Stauber and Congressman Emmer,
minor points,
big First Amendment advocates, they have the ability to go and apply for a permit. This organization did, and they put this display up in the state capitol, and it's permitted. I think it went up Friday. I was in court all day yesterday down in Scott County, so I have not actually seen it in person. I've just seen video and pictures of it, and they have a permit to keep it up through December 27th. It really comes down to the First Amendment. They have a right to put it up there. Are many people, in fact, you could even say most people, going to be offended by it? Probably.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that it's not protected First Amendment speech. They're going through something similar down in the state of Iowa.
Yes.
And these organizations often like to do this to get the publicity, which they're getting now.
Mm-hmm. And that's all it's about.
Yeah, and it's not that unusual, but to say that Tim Walz encouraged this, sponsored this in any way, helped them put up the display, is a little out there.
Well, it's there's no basis of it. There's zero. Let me just get to this, though. Is there any belief from objective legal observers, because of what you just said, the First Amendment, that Tim Walz could have stopped this?
You know, not that I'm aware of. I mean, I haven't gotten that deep in the weeds on it, but I just don't know, you know, when you start trying to, you know, stand in the way of any group or any individual's First Amendment rights, when, you know, they're not yelling fire in a crowded movie theater,
yeah, right.
Then I don't know what leg they would have to stand on to do this. There's a lot of things that happen at the state capitol that many people disagree with, but the state capitol and the nation's capitol are kind of the examples, the epicenter of where people can come to exercise free speech, even yep. when we find it to be distasteful or, you know, whatever you want to call it. If you're a religious person at all, Satanism, of course, is the antithesis of everything you stand for.
By the way, that's the point of the First Amendment. The First Amendment isn't set up so we can talk about puppies and babies and everything that's sweet and is agreeable. And you said there are lines, and then there's what is available within the power of what you have to prevent something. Now, we're also in a world where a lot of people will file legal action to look good for PR purposes. The governor did not do it in this case. I have no idea if he asked. But it's pretty easy to blame this one on Walls when there's zero proof. I repeat, zero proof he was behind
and
it.
And I mentioned that there was something going on in Iowa as well.
Yep.
They state officials down there did cancel an event that a group, I don't know if it's the same group or a similar group, was trying to hold a public event. And they did stand in the way of that, claiming, I forget what I read, something about it would be harmful to children. I don't know exactly what
yeah.
grounds they were doing this on. But it wasn't a display that is just sitting there. It was going to be an active, you know, gathering of some kind.
Well, and like somebody, Tom, just says, what about a swastika? Like if the American Nazi Party wanted to have a performance right now, could they do that?
You know, if they got a permit, but I don't know. The Department of Administration handles all that for the state of Minnesota, and you know, and that's that when you go through legal channels to do it, that's not a hate crime. Like I think I read yesterday. Mm-hmm. Again, I was in court. You feel like you're in detached from reality. Wasn't there a swastika put? Was it at Temple Israel?
Yep.
Yeah, and that could be construed. That's a hate crime.
Yeah, because of where it is.
Be construed as a hate crime because of where it is, and there, obviously there's no legal permit for it, and it's defacing property, so it's a crime. This is different. This is they went through the proper channels, applied for a permit, got a permit under the First Amendment, and the display goes up.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I'll be checking you out tonight. Let's bump into each other soon.
Happy holidays, Chad.
Tom Hauser, he's the best. Merry Christmas to him. Happy holidays to everybody. A poll which has come out which should cause all of us again to shake our head. It's a topic we have discussed before. We're going to discuss it again because I think a lot of the folks, considering the way they showed their support in this poll, it's awful.